Be turning in your Bibles to the book of 2 Timothy, if you would. 2 Timothy chapter number 2. When you're reading through the book of 2 Timothy, you're actually reading Paul's final recorded words. As a matter of fact, to be even more specific, you're reading his final recorded words to his son in the faith. That's what he refers to Timothy as when you read the opening of this book. In verse 1, he identifies himself as Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son. It's like a letter from a father to a son. Some of you may have a letter like that at your house. And that is, it could be that your father has written you a letter and you still have that letter that he wrote to you. And you've kept it there. It may be that maybe it was not written down, but it was verbalized. And that is that you remember your father's final words. Now, my children don't remember that yet because I'm still around. Amen. And hopefully these are not my final words. I'd like to stick around a little while longer. Lord willing. Lord willing. But these are Paul's final words. Final words to his son named Timothy. Some of you are kind of like I am, and when you remember your father, and that is that when you think about your dad on Father's Day, it's a memory, and you are remembering him. Some of you, as you remember him, you may think about, maybe some of you had the opportunity like I did just to remember maybe the final time that you were with your father. I remember the final time that I was with my dad. And it's been 21 years ago, a little over 21 years ago now. But I remember it was my mother's birthday. My dad was just within a couple of days of leaving this life. We didn't know that he was that close. I mean, we knew it was close, but not that close. It was my mother's birthday. And I remember when I got ready to leave that day and saw him for the final time, I reached down and whispered in his ear and I said, "Dad, now don't forget today's mom's birthday." And he looked up and says, "Oh, it is." And I heard him telling my mom, "It's your birthday." And then I left. You might remember your father's final words if you're in a situation like I am with regard to fathers. But we find here that these recorded words are like Paul's final words to Timothy. And this letter is, as far as the record that we have. Now, Paul was not Timothy's biological father, but he was his father in the faith. And that is that just as Timothy had a mother and a grandmother had shared the gospel with him early on in his life. And also Paul came preaching the gospel in the little town where they lived on that second missionary journey. And we find that it was Timothy who was heard the gospel, got saved, and grew, God grew him. And he became a part eventually of the apostolic team that Paul was leading. And became part of his ministry and part of his team. And it was Paul who taught him and helped him and groomed him. And it was his teaching and leadership in his life that God used to make him exactly what it is that Timothy is today. As he writes to him, as he is probably still in the city of Ephesus ministering to the believers in that city, he writes to them. Paul is under arrest. He's been under arrest once, and now he's been arrested again by the Roman authorities. And this time, instead of being released, he knows that he's going to be executed. He knows, according to chapter 4, that the time of his departure is very, very near. It is at hand. That time is coming. He knows that these are his final words, and so he writes to Timothy, and it's as though that he's preparing him for the fact that he's getting ready to leave. He's preparing him for the fact that he's going to be, that Timothy is going to be this next generation of leaders in the early church. And let me just say to you that the church is dependent upon godly leadership. And that is that the church, God's people need leadership. God's people have always need leadership. And what God's people need is what we might define as spiritual leadership. And those that can lead God's people in the direction of the will of God, that can lead us to understand the Word of God, that's what we need more than anything else. And we find that Paul has been that leader among the early, in the early church, in those early churches that were established on those missionary journeys. He has been the guy. He's been leading them. He's been writing to them. He's been going and encouraging them. He's been establishing leaders among them. He's going to soon depart off of the scene, and the church needs leadership, and Timothy's going to be one of those leaders. Sort of a third generation of leadership is what Timothy is going to be. That is our Lord, His apostles, and now we have men like Timothy who also is going to be teaching others as well, as we'll see in verse number 2 at a later time. But what I want you to see is that He is preparing him. He is getting him ready. And he wants Timothy to be prepared to take on the reins of leadership and to be the kind of servant of Christ that God needs for His church to have. And that's why he's writing to him. You know, I really believe that Paul's desire for Timothy is the desire of every godly father, of every godly man even today. And that is the godly men in this church. I can tell you that the desire, young men, the godly men who are in this church, their desire is that you will grow, become strong, and become a great leader and a great servant for God. That's what we pray for. That's what we meet for. That's what we desire. And that is that God will raise up young men, some of you that are in this room, that God will raise you up and use you and put His hand on you and His power on you, and that you will be sold out to God and live for God and be the kind of leader that this church is going to continue to need, as the kingdom is going to continue to need as well. I believe that's the desire of many of you who are fathers. It's my desire as a dad that God will put His hand on my son and put His hand on my daughter and put His hand on my grandchildren and raise them up to be servants of God, devoted to God, living for God. And it may be well that that's your desire, that is dad's, and also mothers as well. That's Paul's desire. That's what he's expressing as he writes these final words to Timothy. And that is, he's writing to him because he knows, Paul knows, what it takes to live for God and be a servant of God and be what God wants you to be. And so he tells him in verse number 1 of the second chapter, he said, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." And that's where we're going to park for just a little while today. In other words, as Paul is writing to Timothy these final words, trying to teach him, trying to guide him, trying to groom him as he is, he said, "Timothy, I want to tell you what you're going to have to do. You need to be strong." It wouldn't be unusual for a father's final words to be something like that. And that is, if he knew that his time was limited and he knew that he had his son there or his daughters there, is to say to them, "You need to be strong. I'm going to be gone one of these days. You need to be strong after I am gone." And that's sort of what he's telling Timothy here. Paul is saying, "Listen, son, I want you to be strong. And you're going to have to be strong." Now, this is a command that is being issued here. That is, if you were to study this and read it in the original language, this is an imperative, which means that it is a command that is being issued. He's issuing a command. Not a command like the demands of a master to a slave, but he's issuing a command like that of a loving father to his beloved son, as he refers to him here as his son. This imperative is in the present tense, which means that Paul is not appealing to Timothy to start being strong as though he had never been, but to keep on being strong like he has been. In other words, he's saying to Timothy, "Listen, if you're going to live for God, you have got to be strong. And you've got to keep on being strong. Not that you need to start, he already is being strong, but that you need to keep on being strong." And the same is true for us. Now, when Paul writes here about being strong, we need to kind of define the meaning. That is, what is it that he means by this command? We already know that Paul is not referring to physical strength, don't we? Or at least that's what we would assume. He's not saying to Timothy, "Timothy, what you need to do, man, you need to get down to the gym. Go down there to the gym, and I want you to get on the weights and on the machines down there, and I want you to muscle up." That is, next time, listen, if I get to see you again, I want to see your muscles bulging. I want to see some strength. I want you to be physically strong. One of the reasons why that we assume that he's not meaning that is because of what he wrote to him in the first letter. That is, in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 8, he says that for bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. In other words, what he is saying is this. He said, "Listen, while bodily exercise, physical exercise, will profit you a little," and it does profit you a little. You say, "Pastor, if I exercise and take good care of myself, I might live a little bit longer. You might get a few more months. Maybe a year or two." It'll profit you a little. But godliness is so much more important. That's the idea. That is, what you need to be doing is prioritizing your life, Timothy, so that you're strong, not just physically, but spiritually, so that you are spiritually strong. We know that he's not talking about physical strength. He must be talking about spiritual strength. But that's not enough. We need to define it a little bit further. And that is, if we are spiritually strong, sort of what does that look like? We know what physical strength looks like. You can see it in somebody's biceps. Maybe you can see it in their neck. Some people, maybe you see it in their head. I don't know. Right? But you can see physical strength. But what does it look like when we're talking about spiritual strength? Well, there's a key word in chapter 2 and verse number 1, and it is the word therefore. Now, you Eastern Gators, you know, don't you? You're tired of me saying this, but I got to remind you that when you see the word therefore, what do? You got to stop and see what it's there for. This is a connecting word, isn't it? And that is, it connects chapter 2 with the previous chapter. That is chapter number 1. The word therefore does. That is, in other words, it's connecting what he's already written with the command to be strong. He's giving this command to be strong on the basis of what he's already written in chapter number 1. You see, in chapter number 1, Paul has been telling Timothy to stand up shamelessly for the gospel and for those who are preaching it. He's telling him not to be afraid. He's telling him, according to verse number 7, that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but power or strength and love and a sound mind. And so he says in verse number 8 of chapter number 1, not to be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. In other words, he's writing to him about being strong. What it is like to be strong. What it is like is to not be afraid or intimidated, but instead to walk and live in the power and love, a sound mind, that is a mind that is right, the mind of Christ, and not being ashamed of the gospel or of those who are preaching it. Especially, don't be ashamed of Paul. Paul, who is in jail. Paul, who's been in prison for the gospel's sake. Paul, who's going to be martyred soon. There were those, ladies and gentlemen, who were running away from Paul. And the reason why they were running away from him is because they didn't want to be connected to him. If they arrested Paul and are going to execute him, then they might start with those who are connected to Paul. Maybe they're going to start arresting those who are connected with him in this ministry. And so there were those who are leaving. Demas is a man. Remember Demas? Paul said that Demas has forsaken me. He loves this world. He would rather live this life than to be a martyr for Christ. So he's needed. Stay with me. Folks are leaving. They're going other places, and some of them are forsaking him. And he's saying to him, Timothy, listen, if you're going to live for God and stand for the gospel in this age, in this day that we're living in, then you cannot be intimidated. You cannot be afraid, but you have got to be strong. You got to be strong. He tells him in verse 13 to hold fast that form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus, and that good thing which was committed unto thee keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us, talking about the gospel that's been committed to him. You need to guard it. You need to guard it. And you need to proclaim it. And not be ashamed and not be intimidated and not be fearful. Ladies and gentlemen, persecution against the church was becoming more intense as Paul wrote this letter. As I mentioned, he's in prison. He's going to be executed. It's going to cost God's people to be able to stand for the gospel. It's not going to be easy. And it would be easy to become intimidated and frightened. And it would be easy for them to back off. When there's a price to be paid, listen to me now, when the gospel ceases to be our entertainment, and it becomes there's a price that has to be paid to believe and to proclaim and to stand for the gospel, it reveals those who are really real and those who are not. We'll say it again. When the gospel ceases to be our entertainment, and that's what it's become in our culture, that's what churches do. We want to entertain people so they like our church better than somebody else's, and they come to our church because we entertain them better. But if the gospel ever ceases to be our entertainment, and there's a price to be paid for believing and standing for the gospel, it will divide those, listen, to be a division between those who are real and those who are not. And those who are real are going to have to be brave and courageous. And listen, they're going to have to stand. They're going to have to be strong. You don't have to be very strong to be a Christian in our culture. That is, if you've adopted cultural Christianity. But if you're going to live for God, if you're going to be all out for God and live for God and be what God wants you to be, if you're going to be in the will of God, listen, you will have to be strong. You will go, listen, you'll go contrary to cultural Christianity that's found throughout our society if you really are devoted and sold out to Jesus as the Lord of your life. If you're going to live for God and be the kind of servant that God wants you to be, you're not going to be able to go do everything that your buddies are doing and go in the direction maybe that even your family is going in. They're going to be those who are going to criticize you and make fun of you and think something is wrong with you. And there may come a time when you'll be scrutinized by the officials as well as we see going on in the Roman Empire. It may not be easy someday. So Paul encourages Timothy. He's telling him, don't be intimidated, don't be fearful, but be strong. And that's what he means when he gives him his command, be strong. Don't be afraid, don't be intimidated, but you stand unashamed for the gospel, this message about Jesus. No matter what it cost, no matter what price that has to be paid. That's the therefore. That's what it means. You didn't know everything, all that was packed into that little word, but it is. Therefore, because you should not be afraid, but stand shamelessly for the gospel, Timothy, you're going to have to stand unashamed. In a time of persecution, I'm going to be executed and they may come after you someday. Because God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power or strength, then be strong. I'm going to say it again. God has not given us a spirit of fear, chapter 1, verse 7, but a power or strength. If God has given us strength, then be strong. Be strong. What does it mean to be strong? Let me just say it this way. It means to keep on living for Jesus and standing up for the gospel no matter what kind of resistance may come. No matter what kind of temptation comes your way. Say, Pastor, I'm really tempted. Those who are strong are those who live all out for God, for Christ, stand shamelessly for the gospel, and do not give in to temptation. Do not. No matter what kind of trials come, you say, Pastor, things are going a little bit rough in my life. It goes rough in everybody's life. Everybody has struggles. But those who are strong are those who do not give in to temptation or to struggles. They keep living for God anyway. Hey, whenever trials come your way, that is when God begins to test you, and He will, He'll let things go. He'll let difficult times come into your life just to test whether you're real or whether you're not. And when He does, those who are strong are those who don't, listen, it's not talking about an emotion that we feel, but a determination to continue to live for God and be what God wants us to be and to stand for the gospel no matter what temptation comes, no matter what trials come, no matter what troubles come into our life, that we're going to live for God no matter what. We're not going to stop. Listen, we're not going to sit down. We're not going to back up. We're not going to give in. That's what it means to be strong. Now, Timothy, maybe he would say that he's a strong Christian, but it's not until you get into the battle and encounter resistance that you find out whether you are or not. It would be easy for me to say to you right now, I could tell you how strong I am. I'm talking about physical strength. I could tell you how strong I am. I could make a boastful statement. I could say that I'm the strongest person in this room. A challenger. You know, I could say that. It'd be easy for me to say that. And somebody might say, well, let's find out. Right? I mean, somebody could. And then we would find out the truth. That is, when the resistance came, when the challenge came, when the difficulty comes. Listen, it'd be easy to say it, but when the difficulty and the challenge come, that's when you really find out. And you know it's not only true physically, but it's also true as well when it comes to living for the will of God. And that is, it's easy to say, man, I feel revived. I feel strong for the Lord. I love God. I love God. When you're in a service like this, hearing the songs that we've sang, it's easy to do that. But the real test comes when the resistance mounts, when the temptation comes, when the troubles hit, when the trials come our way. That's when we find out how really strong we are. So the some who may look strong at church on Sunday may not be very strong at all. Right? I mean, some of you might look at me and say, man, he's strong. Well, maybe not. But the real proof is when the resistance comes. And it's that way in your life. So some of you looking at yourself and say, well, now that you say that, I may not be nearly as strong as maybe what I think that I am. And that's the reason why that Paul is writing. That is, he's writing to help Timothy be what he's commanding him to be. That is, he's trying to help him to learn how to be strong. That's right. Now, if Timothy keeps on living for God like he has been, then he's going to demonstrate that he really is strong. And that's what he's encouraging him to do, to keep on standing shamelessly for the gospel. Timothy, I'm going to be gone. And it's going to be hard. That is, they've been after Paul, but listen, he may be the target next. It's going to be difficult, but you be strong. To keep on being strong. Now, the Holy Spirit has preserved these words of Paul for us today because, like Timothy, we also need to learn to be strong. There are no doubt some strong believers in our country and maybe some even in our own church. But I tell you that as a whole, when you look at it from a whole standpoint, I believe that we are really weak. That we're weak. Weak Christians and weak churches. How can you tell whether you're weak or whether you're strong? Well, whenever you're living for God and standing for the gospel and the resistance comes, you find out whether you're weak or strong. Many people in our society have taken a public stand by publicly professing to have trusted Christ. As if you're saved, that means that you received Christ and you publicly testified to it one day that I'm following Jesus now, I belong to Him, and I'm living for Him. Some of those people may do okay for a few hours or a few days or a few months, and then some resistance begins to hit their life. It may be the resistance of a family member who doesn't want that person to go to church and live for God and witness to people and live for God. It may be the resistance of a friend who wants you to hang out with them instead of going to church, wants you to do things you know are wrong to do and leading you down and influencing you in an ungodly kind of way. It may be the resistance of our own flesh, our own fallen nature that doesn't want to get up and get off the couch and go to church and live for God and pray and witness to people and share the gospel and those kinds of things. You see, those who are strong are the ones who keep on living for God even in the face of that kind of resistance. Those who are weak, you know what they do? They give in. They give in. They don't keep going or living for God. So there's a lot of weakness, isn't there? In the Christian world of our day, maybe in your own personal life as you look at yourself, because of those who give in and won't keep standing for God. Did you know that for a lot of people, all it would take was be a few sniffles or a favorite TV show on TV to keep them from being what God wants them to be? Amen. You know what that is? That's weakness. It's weakness. When a professing believer won't say no to the resistance of our lazy flesh and get alone with God and spend time in prayer, that shows how weak we are. When you look at your life, when you examine yourself and you see yourself as a prayerless person, that is, you'll run around and chase after everybody else, trying to please your own flesh and everybody else, but don't spend time with God in prayer. When you won't say no to the flesh, listen, then you are indeed weak. You're weak. When all it takes, let me put it this way. When all it takes is a cross word, an angry look, or a difference of opinion, and a professing Christian quits on church and doesn't go back, that is a sign of weakness. It sure is. Listen, if we don't keep living for God with the little resistances that we experience, and those kind of resistances that I've described to you that are typical in many people's lives are about that big. If we don't live for God in the area of little resistance, then what's going to happen when major resistance comes? I wonder how many of us would still be standing shamelessly for the gospel. What does it mean to be strong? To be strong is to stand shamelessly for the gospel, even in the face of resistance, without giving up, without backing down, even to the point of being a martyr for our faith. That's what it means. And that's what Paul means when he tells Timothy to be strong. In the context, that's what he's talking about. That's what he means. Now, how is it that you and I can be strong? By what means is that possible? You say, Pastor, I see a lot of weakness in my personal life. I know I'm a believer. I know I've received Christ, but I don't feel like that I'm very strong. Then how can I become strong? Verse 1, again, look at it and you'll see what I'm talking about. Thou therefore, my son, be strong. Notice the next phrase. In the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Do you see it there? In other words, here's the key to becoming the kind, having the kind of strength that the apostle is writing to Timothy about. That is, this father's writing to his son in the faith, and he says, be strong, and then he tells him how to do that. That is, in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. The means by which we can experience this strength that we're talking about here is in the grace of our Lord. It is in the grace of Christ. That is, the strength to be able to keep living for God and standing shamelessly for the gospel, it does not come from within ourselves. You say, Pastor, I just don't have it within me. I'm not talking about something within you. I'm talking about something that comes from God to you. He's the source of it. In other words, when the Bible says here to be strong, and then it says in the grace, the idea of grace is the gifts, that which God gives to us freely. That is, the key to experiencing this kind of strength is that which God gives to us. It comes from Him. Now, when we say that salvation is by grace, we understand what we mean by that, don't we? And that is that we know that salvation is not something that we can earn. It's not something that you and I deserve. It is a free gift from God. Salvation is God's free gift. It comes from Him, completely 100% from Him. Well, just like salvation comes from God, hey, strength does too. Strength does too. Salvation comes from God, and strength comes from God. That is, if you and I are going to be strong, then we're going to have to receive the strength from God who wants to give it to us freely. Listen, God wants to strengthen you. Listen, you may not, you say, Pastor, I don't have this within myself, but God does. He's a mighty, powerful God. He's the almighty God. He's all, listen, He has all strength. He is the omnipotent God. God does not lack for strength. And do you know that this God is all powerful and has all strength, is willing to share His strength with you? So that you can indeed be strong. You say, Pastor, what are you talking about? Let me just show you a few verses here in chapter 1 and verse 7 of this same chapter that we looked at a few moments ago. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power, or the idea there is strength. The same Greek word translated here, be strong, power, love, and a sound mind. Where does it come from? It comes from God. God gives us, not fear, but God gives us power. I'm trying to get you to see where this strength comes from. It comes from God. It is given to us by Him. We'll see it again in chapter 4 and verse 17. Of this same book, where the Bible says, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me. And Paul says, He strengthened me. He's been writing about his hearing before the Romans, and he said that nobody else stood with me, but God did, and He strengthened me, so that by me the preaching might be fully known, that all Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion, or those who were at enmity against him. God strengthened this man, Paul. Brother Greg and I was talking a little bit earlier this morning about how weak of a man Paul was. You see, when I picture Paul, I like to picture him of this grand man who was about 9 foot tall, maybe 6 foot four, and about 250 pounds, a strong man, a big man, a powerful man. And yet we find that when you read his own writings, he doesn't describe himself like that at all, but as a weak man, a trembling man. A man who couldn't see well. A man who had broken bones from beatings that no doubt were not set right. A man who had physical difficulty and struggle in his life. And yet he said, you know what? He said, the Lord empowered me and the Lord strengthened me. That is, at a time whenever the lion, the devil, and his crowd was out to destroy me, God strengthened me. He's talking about the source of this power or this strength. Some of you might remember Ephesians 6, where the Bible talks about the spiritual warfare that you and I are encountering. We are in a real spiritual battle. There are demons and devils of hell that are out to destroy every person that they can. And let me warn you, there are devils and demons that are trying to destroy you, trying to destroy your family, trying to destroy your relationships. Listen, it is real, trying to do that in your life. And if you and I are going to be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, the Bible tells us, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, and put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Strong in the Lord. Some of you here and you say, Pastor, I'm weak. But listen to me now. God is a mighty and powerful God, and He will strengthen you. You can experience strength and power that comes from Him. Y'all love Philippians 4:13, don't you? I can do all things through Christ, which... Oh, He does. That's right. He strengthens me. 1 Timothy chapter 1. The Bible tells us there in verse number 12. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who hath enabled me. That little word enabled means He has empowered me, strengthened me, and that He counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. He is able to strengthen and empower. If we're going to be strong, then we must be strengthened and empowered by Him. The only means by which we can live and be strong is as God in His grace gives us freely His strength. You remember when you got saved by grace? That's when you got to the end of yourself. Remember that? Man, you got to the end of yourself. And all you had was just His cross, His death and resurrection. And God in His grace saved you in that moment. Listen to me now. His strength works in the same way. You say, well, if God gives us His strength by grace, what does that mean? That means when you and I stop depending on ourselves and start depending entirely on Him, we can find strength. I remember reading Paul's experience. It's a great example of this in 2 Corinthians 12, and then I'm going to come to a close here in just a moment. But in 2 Corinthians 12 is that classic passage I refer to from time to time where it talks about Paul's thorn in the flesh. The messenger of Satan, he said, has been sent to buffet me. That is, there is demonic resistance coming against the Apostle Paul. Now, the devil may have been operating through people, through the resistance of the Roman government, but there was resistance coming against him that the devil was behind. And the Bible says there, Paul says, that God used that in my life to keep me humble. Because they said it would have been easy for me to get all puffed up with pride, thinking I was really something because of all these revelations that God had given me. As a matter of fact, Paul says he was caught up into the third heaven. He didn't know whether he was in the body or out of the body, but this man saw visions and revelations from God. It would have been easy for him to get all puffed up with pride. So God pulled back enough of his hedge of protection around him that the devil was able to attack his life. He said that he prayed 3 times that God would remove this thorn in the flesh, this problem in his life. Now listen, that's the right thing to do. What you see when you see Paul coming to God the first time saying, God, I've got this struggle, I've got this problem, I need your help. You're seeing a man coming to the end of himself, aren't you? But it wasn't just once, he came to him again. And then he came to him a third time. And I believe that he would have kept seeking God for as long as it took until he heard from God and got God's direction. And when you see a believer who is seeking after God with all of his heart like Paul was doing, you're seeing what it looks like whenever God is operating and bringing you to the point of experiencing grace. Those who receive grace are those who come to the end of themselves and are totally dependent on God. That's true in salvation, but it's also true after you're saved and God's trying to strengthen you with His strength. He'll let you be weak. He'll let you be in a difficult situation. He'll put you in positions where you need God, and if you don't see, listen, if God doesn't do something, something's going to happen. He put Paul in that position. He needed God desperately. The third time he prayed, God answered him. The Lord showed up and he answered. He said, listen, Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. My grace is sufficient for you. That's right. It's sufficient. My grace is sufficient to help you and to strengthen you. And Paul said after that, he said, I glory in my infirmities. I glory in my weaknesses because when I am weak, that is when I am strong. Yeah. Paul says, when I can't go any farther, when I'm being buffeted by this demonic resistance, and I'm weak, and I'm wore down, and I can't move any farther, and I just get on my knees and start seeking after God, God strengthens me. And He helps me. And He graces me. He gives me what I do not have within myself. And when He does, He said, I experience His power. I'm glad for weakness. I'm glad for trials. I'm glad for infirmities. I'm glad for struggles. Because it drives me to God. And when I get to the end of myself, then I'm able to receive by grace the strength that God has for me. Some of you holding on with your own strength. God's trying to get you to the end of your strength so you'll start walking in dependence on Him. And experience His strength and His power. You say, Pastor, how does God do that? The key is the Spirit of God who lives on the inside of you. He lives in you, child of God, as we heard the song. He's living in you. That is, the omnipotent, all-powerful God is living in you. And He wants to take over your life from the inside out. And when He brings you to the end of yourself, where you need Him, that is, where you're crying out to Him, and where you're dependent on Him, it is then that you can experience His power. Because of the indwelling Holy Spirit, the power of God is available to you. Because of the filling of the Holy Spirit, it can be experienced by you. Amen. It's available to you because He indwells you. But it'll only be experienced by you if you'll let Him fill and dominate your life from the inside out. When you will stop controlling your life and let Him fill you and dominate you, you can know something about the power and the strength that God can give. It'll set you free. It'll set you on the right path. Amen. Micah said in the Old Testament, he said, I am truly full of power by the Spirit of the Lord. That's the key. Jesus returned after being tempted in the power of the Spirit. Into Galilee, Acts 1:8, you'll receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And then you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the earth. When you see Peter and the other apostles standing shamelessly for the gospel, and the leaders in Judaism and Jerusalem are trying to intimidate them, they're commanding them to stop preaching in the name of Jesus. And when they did not stop, they beat them. And commanded them to stop. And they went out of the presence of that beating council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for His name, and did not stop. You say, Pastor, how could they be so strong? Bible says in Acts 40-31, they were praying. And as they were praying, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And went out and spoke the word of God with boldness. No fear, no intimidation. But boldness. When Paul was writing to the Ephesians, his prayer for them was that God would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened or empowered with might by His Spirit in the inner man. The key to experiencing the strength and power of God is the Holy Spirit operating with grace in your life, filling you with Himself. You say, Pastor, I'd like to experience that, then let me just give you two simple points. Number one, get rid of the junk in your life. You got a lot of junk in your life. It's got your life all cluttered up. Talking about sin, the flesh. It's got your life so cluttered up that you don't even have time to walk with God. You need to get rid of the junk. And surrender yourself to Him every day. Alone with God, surrendering to Him. Some of you say, Pastor, I don't have time. Whatever is keeping you from walking with God is junk in your life. Yes. Amen. Get up early, stay up late. Yes. Whatever it takes to get alone with God, to seek Him. Like Paul did, until you know His strength, His power in your life. Just a final word from a father to his son. Be strong. The means of experiencing that strength is found in the grace, the wonderful gifts that our Lord has for us. The gift of His Spirit in us, strengthening us, empowering. God's desire for your life. Listen to me. He wants to make you strong. if for the rest of your life you have nothing but weakness in your body, God wants you to be strong spiritually. Would you let Him make you strong? Let's pray. Father, I pray that You would operate toward us at the very point of need that we have. I pray that Your Spirit would operate on the hearts of those who are here that are lost, that have never come to Christ. That they, Father, be brought to a point of brokenness before You and surrender to You as Lord. But God, I know that there are many people who are here that are genuinely saved. That God, we're so weak. So I pray that You teach us to be strong. What it means to be strong. God, would You weaken us in our flesh and our abilities so that we become dependent on You. God, You know what that means in each person's life. You know, sin needs to be confessed and junk that needs to be forsaken. Help us now this moment to get to the end of ourselves and do Your work among us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand together.